Also, it's Thursday, so it's a great time for our checkup from the neck up, folks. So strap in. You're going to learn some things about yourself and about life here coming up. Dr. Craig Manning, mental strength coach, professor of sports psychology at Brigham Young University. You know, his vast portfolio includes Olympians, NBA teams, players, the best of the best athletes all across Brigham Young University's programs. Welcome. Thanks for taking a few minutes this morning.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
We were talking, you know, we have this list of things we'll get to, but one of our you-got-to-be-kidding-me's was Alabama joining a list of Iowa State, Michigan State, NC State, West Virginia, offering an eighth-grade linebacker out of Florida. I mean, it's so wrong on so many levels. If you could kind of just give us the headline, what's wrong with an eighth-grade? I mean, he might be really physically gifted, but in terms of his development and his parents, I mean, there really should be, you really want to have none of that, do you? I mean, it's great for the kid. It's got to be fun, but man, so many challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, we keep doing this to these kids around that age. And it starts actually younger and younger now, about 12, 13. We start putting these expectations on results on these kids. And here's the thing that we need to always realize. Fear comes from the future. Fear does not exist in the moment. It comes from the future. You think about anything that you're afraid of, all of those thoughts originate from the future. And as soon as fear occupies your mind, it's triggering the fight or flight.
Yeah.
And what happens to so many of these kids at that age is as soon as they have that outcome it's propelling their mind to always be looking ahead into the future, and creating fear and anxiety is a symptom of fear. So, I mean, I got a lot of stories about this, but I'm sure you have some specific questions. I'll just pause for a minute there. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and again, we have a whole list of things I wanted to get to. This just popped up, but it is fascinating, and I love this for anybody in the car that's going to work or parents, and this is one of the things I love about this segment. This is real-life application, whether you're an athlete or a coach or, a prodigy, a music prodigy, whatever. These challenges hit you, and I'm just wondering, like, it's wrong on so many levels. What is the most? We were talking about maybe the NCAA saying no contact before 16, putting some kind of a structure here. And for the kid, it's got to be fun in the beginning. But man, as you mentioned, the fear and the expectation, he becomes a target for every other young player in Florida. It's just so wrong.
You know, it's so interesting. I've had this opportunity. I work with some singer-songwriters in Nashville. Same thing, 10 years of age. They write their own music and start doing well, and it messes up the next 10, 15 years of their lives because now they're in this reactive, always worrying about the outcome and the fear, and they can never just be in the present and enjoy the process of what they're doing. So instead of focusing on the process, which is completely controllable, hence there's no fear, we're consumed with this outcome and the expectations and anxiety goes up. I have an athlete I work with who's actually a hockey player. He came through a contact through my Red Bull engagements. But at 13, this kid, some prospect, some scout, published on social media that he would be the next Sidney Crosby.
Oh, man.
And overnight, this kid went from just loving playing the game of hockey, and he was very good, but loving playing the game of hockey, having fun, playing in a team that he's playing with 16-year-olds, to feeling all this pressure and his parents. He had one season, Tom. He had a season where he had scored a point in 50 straight games. This is playing with kids 3 years older than him. Wow. And he had one game he didn't score a point. He stormed off the ice, threw all his stuff into the locker and stormed out. And the coach called his parents and said, you got to get somebody working with this guy. There's too much pressure on this 13-year-old. And there's a fork in the road when we do this.
Right.
When we do this to our kids, there's a fork in the road. And if they start going down the path of worrying about results and worrying about being the next superstar, anxiety is going to get in. It's going to trigger the fight or flight. And they get in this reactive mode. And I guarantee they will not make it.
Right.
But if we keep them on the other path of staying focused on the process, on staying focused on developing skills, can you see that this is what I'd love to make clear to anyone listening here. When you start focusing on outcome, you're negating the skill development. Your skills are not going to develop because you're so focused on the result, you're not focused on the skill. Okay? And if you do develop any skills at all, those skills are really just survival skills. Whereas when you stay focused on the process, when you stay focused on the process and the skill development, those results will come. So I've been working with this kid now 4 years, and he's hit every goal, and he's doing well, and he literally was ranked as the number one 16-year-old in the world this last year. But it has taken a lot of work to get him mentally strong enough to deal with all of the expectations. Now, here's, I got one more example. There's a skateboarder I work with as well that, same thing, phenom at 12, 13. You know, he skates with Tony Hawk and all these guys, and the pressure just hit him at such a young age, and I'm trying to help him through this age period here, because from age 12, 13 through to 16, that is the critical developmental age, the progression age, and we got to work with them mentally so they can handle all these expectations.
That's all great stuff, and I'm wondering, there's a missing element, and that is the parents, because, you know, once you get to college and beyond, and you work with the Red Bull, you athletes and Olympians and NBA teams and players, and they're developed, and okay, you can go one-on-one with the player, but at what point does this kid's parent or the parents or any of these young prodigies' parents have to step in? And I know they get caught up in it too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah, I know this third time I'm going to say it. They do, but it's interesting. The ones I'm working with get it. They get that. They love that their kids are doing well, and they're trying to support them, and hence that's why they've reached out to me, and they want to make sure that they're developing the mindset so they can handle it. And so the skateboarder, the hockey player, I've got a surfer and a snowboarder I started working with at about the same age. But I had the youngest athlete ever in a couple of weeks ago at 11, and I actually at first said, no, I don't, it's too young.
Wow.
But then I heard all of the expectations and pressure on this kid, and just we did one session. And this kid was a phenom gymnast in that high-level cheerleading stuff. That I shouldn't say it that way. I'm not an expert in that field.
Right. No, I know what you mean.
But came in, and just in one session, the kid was not loving this one particular sport and wanted to go back to the other sport. And it was really good for the mother that was there to be able to see it as I was really breaking some things down. And it was very clear for the parent of, well, this kid's going to burn out if she keeps trying to do this sport. We need to get her back doing the sport she loves. And they made that switch. They went back to a sport that she loves, and is the kid's doing well. And see, here's another point, Tom. They're in there meeting with me, and this kid had an injury at the time with her shins. I was pretty convinced it was a psychosomatic injury.
Wow.
As soon as the kid made a commitment to be, it was allowed basically to go back to the sport she loved. Guess what happened to the injury on Monday? Met with him Friday. Guess what happened Monday?
Better.
No injury. Yep. No injury.
It's amazing. The defenses, yep, and the things that kids will do, you know, to protect themselves. That's great,
yep,
stuff. And we'll, you know, this is not going anywhere. We'll have this discussion again. I love this aspect of what you do. I do want to hit briefly on what we had talked about, and just watching, just curious how, you know, we hear about a team, you know, in the zone or getting, you know, sort of hitting their stride. Oklahoma City struggled during the regular season. Billy Donovan comes in, very successful college coach, rookie NBA coach, got to feel out your superstars and all that. All of a sudden, they get it together. They take down a beast in San Antonio, and now game one, they accomplish what they wanted. They split in Oakland against the defending world champs. What's it like when, as you point out, individuals with the right mindset blend together, and it becomes the culture, and all of a sudden this team is way better than the individual parts?
Yeah, there's a lot of parts there. I have always admired Kevin Durant's mental toughness, just mental, his thought patterns and his mindset. He has that, I love to code that as confident humility. He's very confident,
yep,
in his skills. You can't be confident if you don't have skills. He's very confident in his skills, but has the humility. I would listen to him all the time when he was coming in to the NBA, and he'd always say, yeah, you know, did well tonight. There's always so much for me to do better. That was always his mantra. I've got to get better. I'm working on things to get better.
I'm going to interrupt you. Did you hear after game one, they asked him why there was no celebrating? He goes, we haven't done anything. We haven't won anything.
I love it.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that. That's what I love about him. It's just he has that confidence but humility. And I think he kind of derailed him when he had that injury.
Yep.
I didn't see the same mental makeup after the injury. It was kind of probably his first big, real setback. You know, maybe I don't know him well enough, but I assume that's one of his biggest challenges. And it threw him off. And the injury can create doubt.
Right.
You know, he didn't have any doubt in any other areas, or at least he was able to overcome it. This was his first real mental challenge he had to overcome. And I was watching him this year. He's coming back. Westbrook really kind of picked up the slack because he's very good mentally as well. And I would say I really like Westbrook too, but he's more on the cocky side, which I really have no issues with. That's fine. Cockiness is I'm good and I'm telling everyone that's fine with me. It's just I love the true confidence is I'm good and I'm keeping it to myself. And I think what happens though, those two really, they're not arrogant. They don't tear others down. They're not looking to put people in their place. They just, Westbrook's very cocky. I'm not going to back down from that. He's very cocky.
Right.
He knows he's good and he wants to tell everybody. Again, he's not tearing others down and he's not trying to one-up himself either. He's not trying to say I'm better than you. He's just saying I'm dang good.
Right.
I'm the best, you know. Kevin Durant is, I'm good and I just want to win, which he is Tim Duncan, Seth Curry, you know, the same mentality. I want to build my whole franchise around guys like that mindset.
Right.
And I just think it clicked in that game. Those two, it clicked in and it just spreads to everyone else. And that's why we call culture is really organizational mindset. The mindset of Westbrook and Durant has spread and bled into the rest of those guys, and they just make everyone else better. And I'm really, really impressed with them. The problem is I love the Warriors as well. They both have, in my opinion, the two best cultures in the NBA, and that's what makes them so good.
Right. And really, Billy Donovan's below the radar. He's done a masterful job. You talk about cocky and knowing. He knows coaching, but nobody else did. And he's gotten out of the way of his superstars, and he's done some really deft things. And I thought he out-coached Popovich. Maybe I'm reading too much into it, but he's been equal to the task, which was the big question when they hired Donovan.
Yeah, I think he's doing a great job, too. I watched him at Florida. I would say I love Popovich, so I don't know if I would say he's out-coached him, but what I would say is he coached at the same level, and therefore, all things being equal there from a coaching, because Popovich, I think, out-coaches most of the coaches that they go up against. But if you can match that coach-to-coach, now that's being held constant. That's an equal. I just think Oklahoma had more young legs and more talent on their team now that you hold that constant there. This is interesting. It'll be really interesting to see which culture is going to win out between the Warriors and the Thunder. Here's another. This is why, Tom, I love following organizations because I think that is what makes it so fun. This is why I love the Jazz. I think they have a great organization. They create a great culture. I think in every professional sport, I have a favorite team, and it's always the culture of the team that really I care about. I think those are the organizations. They create talent. They build people, and they're the ones that will be successful over the long haul, not just this one good year, one bad year. I think that good players will want to stay. They don't leave. And good players will come, be attracted to those organizations, a la the Spurs, the Patriots, you know, and I could go on and on. You can see that across all of the different sports.
Yeah, no doubt. Great stuff. And coming up next week, we wanted to get to it this week, but it'll play really well next week. As the Big 12 appears that they might vote not to expand, Cougar Nation's going to need some help from you, Doc. we'll get to that next. Yeah, well, we're up against the clock. That's all. Okay. Do we have time, John, for one more answer? Where are we? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Craig.
Just real quick, some of this with the fans, I just need to send this message out. There was a report done, research done on what are the stats, what would it be like if they did expand. And the fans have taken this into a way bigger thing. They may not expand at all. That was just somebody doing research on what it might look like.
And I bought into it too. I read into that and all that. And I'm like, oh, they got to expand. All the numbers are, you know. And then now it looks like, well, they might not. And how's Cougar Nation going to handle this?
Right. Yep, exactly.
All right, great stuff, and we will explore that in greater detail next week. Thank you so much, Dr. Craig Manning, professor of sports psychology at BYU, mental strength coach. Enjoy the weekend's games, and we'll check back in with you next week. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.